Acts chapter 1.
The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1. Thank you. Thank you. Luke? I'm having a good time.
Amen.
It's good.
Amen.
I don't know if it's mutual, but I think it is, but I like you guys. I like being here. You're very kind. Acts chapter 1. Last 2 weeks ago, I was in Go Vap area, part of Saigon, where the New Life Center is centered. And I had gone, Lucy and I had gone out, I think on a Friday, and I met with Mr. Mang and Lin and Tram. It was me and you. Is Mang here, Mr. Mang?
Mr. Mang was here.
Yeah, and I found out that I've got three messages to do to prepare for starting now, which is, I don't mind, it's good. Most of it was English class. English class is so easy and fun. I can talk. You just have to talk, you know, and talk slowly and clearly and try to avoid idioms and so on. Mon said, would you preach a message, but would you preach? The New Life Center has gone so well, and for summary, it's like in around this area, there's like 80, now there's 90,000 students. It's like a block of universities, maybe two or three city blocks, and very few opportunities for like clean living, because they haven't provided dormitories. I think they have 6,000 dormitory space, which means like, they stack like on cordwood. They're really tight. And it makes opportunities for the evil people to prey on the innocent. If they fall behind or they need money or something, there's an opportunity for the social evil. And people that will take pictures and so on. Yeah, I don't have to go any more detail, right? And Mang, for years, had rented houses and so on, by faith, about 5 years ago, and we helped him stock it. He borrowed a lot of money, had a couple investors, and he built the New Life Center, which is like a refuge, a home, in the midst of all this. And it's going so well now. He's looking at New Life number 2 at another university area down in Tuduk, in District 2. It's about 15 kilometers away, 10 miles away. And among so many of the students, he's got capacity for about 80 students. And his original thing was to have maybe a handful of students that are believers and bring in the lost. And that's what happened. And the handful have evangelized. They're all but one girl is a believer now, which is a real blessing. And now they go back in bands, they go back to their parents, and they witness they testify to their parents, which is really great. One of the things, I know someone gets it, when their first question is, yeah, but what about my loved ones, right? Yeah, what about my loved ones? That means they got it. This is good, now I care about my loved ones. Well, so many of the kids have gotten saved. And Mon was not a pastor. He's not a pastor. In Vietnam, it's sort of like more parochial. So he was sending him to a local Tin Lan church, like a registered, like a, you know, more orthodox kind of a church. And the students would say to him, Mr. Mon, I mean, it's okay, but we really, they don't really want us there. They just see young people as problems. Can we do church here in New Life? Can we make our English center our room? He's got a soundproof room. That's where we taught. Yeah. It's soundproof, so the neighbors can sing and they can do their music and so on. And would you be our pastor? Why not? So about a year ago, he became New Life Church. And Mom is in the process of teaching them through the book of Acts, what is a church? He hasn't gone very far. He told me where he left off. He goes, is it okay? Can you preach where I left off? I usually don't like to do that. Usually I told him I wasn't going to do it, but God gave me something and I'll try to work with it. So I think I gave him a message that God wanted. And it was so interesting to do that because I didn't think there would be anything in it. You know, sometimes you just read the Bible and it's like, there's nothing in it. Like Lucy and I are now reading in Joshua, right? And it's talking about the places that we don't know about, that this tribe, this is their boundary. And, you know, they went from Arbor to Kirjath, whatever, what do you call it? And like, well, whatever. They got a track of land and so on. But in the midst, there's something good. And you've got it. What is it? The harder the text, the more... What is your...
The more difficult a text is to read, more boring to read, the more fascinating. Yes,
sir. Yeah, that's true. It's a paradox, but it's good. So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to just, if you don't mind, I'm going to repeat this message. And part of the church, we're going to pick it up in Acts chapter 1, verse 11. It's just kind of a Bible study, so you can pretend you're Vietnamese. The rice is cooking. And the squid is ready to be put in the lao, the hot pot. And the other weeds that look like vegetables, they'll mix in with that. And after church, they all have a big dinner. And it's pretty good. It's all good. Lord bless our time now. Again, we pray that you'd help me to be clear. I pray the hearers would be profited, as we said already, and that they could understand, and we could just, we could enjoy, we could relish this section of Scripture. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Acts chapter 1, again, Mon left off somewhere in talking about the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and he goes, I stressed. I, Paul, let, you know, the church has to be led by the Holy Ghost. So can you do the next section? Okay. So I picked it up. Which also said, ye men of Galilee, I'm in verse 11, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from among you into heaven, by the way, it doesn't say in heaven, it's into heaven or to heaven. The prepositions are really cool. That's going to be the next thing. You got to and unto and into. And they're all valuable. I think I wrote in the last blog, I can't remember which one, but when you go to a dictionary and you're reading and it says, oh, that's archaic, just ignore it. You need a different dictionary. be careful. Don't just dismiss it. It may be quote unquote archaic. But that's not reason for dismissal. There's a reason for that. Unto is different than to. And into is different than in or to. Anyway, the old English teacher comes out. Which is taken up from you into heaven shall come, so shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. The first point I want to mention is, and that's another motive that someday I may not do what I do, and someday I'm toying with, I'm just asking the Lord, Lord, do you want me to be a pastor again? I was a pastor once, and it was okay, but God called me back to the field, and I feel like that's the right thing now. But if I ever took a pastorate again, I would want to have a blueprint. I'd want to have a design. What is the church supposed to do? The first time I took it, I didn't really know. I was just doing what I thought and what I was taught. I didn't really have a biblical standard. So one of the reasons I did this and I enjoyed it was, what is a church, what does it look like to have church? What does it mean? One of the things, one of the first principles is this. The church is a body of believers. We should be looking for his coming. Not our departing. We're not making an excuse. Well, I'm just glad God will take me out of here. That's not really the attitude he wants.
That's right, yes, sir.
It's not an escape hatch for the problems that you've cooked up.
That's right.
Rather, his appearing. Oh, I want to see him. Oh, for 30-some years, I've been talking about a man I've never seen.
Amen.
Oh, you know, I want to see him. Oh, he's coming again. I think the church should be, amen, maybe today. Maybe today. That doesn't mean we go out and do credit cards. I'll let the Jehovah's Witnesses pay for it. The first time he came, they didn't believe him. And the second time he's coming, they still don't believe him. But he's coming again. And we should be cognizant of that. Keep your place. And I know it's a familiar text, but you know, it's all good. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Thank you for your testimony, Bryson. Amen. God bless you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself, that's a reflexive pronoun there, himself, stresses himself. Not just for the Lord, but the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. I don't think that's a political statement. I'm surprised they haven't used that yet. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. That was how we always knew the Presbyterians would go up first, because the dead in Christ would rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. You know, he was taken up in the clouds, and the angels say, hey, it's the same manner, same way. It's going to be like clouds. We talk about the uncloudy day. Oh, I hope there's one cloudy day. Amen. I hope there's a cloudy day to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. He's coming again. The second thing about the church is this. We'll go back to Acts chapter 1. Again, this, I feel, I wouldn't do this in any place, very few places, because the purpose of the church and doctrine and so on is usually the responsibility of the pastor, but I think I have liberty. Yes. If not, he's up next. You can straighten me out.
Yeah,
later. I think it's okay. I'm not going to get into anything crazy or anything. I don't know, but everybody has their own thought. Then returned they unto Jerusalem. They had been in Galilee from the Mount. Thank you very much. And they returned, then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, the Sabbath day journey. Very close. In fact, it's nigh unto Jerusalem. We found that in a study. A Sabbath day journey. It's not very far. 2,000 cubits or something. There's no other towns between. They were where they were told to be. What do we do as a church? What's the church all about? Well, one thing a church can do is it can expect Jesus to come and plan for it and act like it. And the other thing is we can be where we're supposed to be. Jesus had told them, keep your place here. Luke 24, back up just a little bit. Luke 24, I got it right here, 49, yeah, Luke 24, verse 49, And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. They had been in Galilee. Why would they be in Galilee? Well, that's their home. When people are hurting, they go home, right? That's their area of, that's where their homes would be. But apparently Jerusalem was their second home. Jesus told them, I don't want you to be, maybe Galilee is a little more comfortable for you. Jerusalem's kind of hot right now. There's people trying to kill you guys. But he says, I want you to go there anyway. Amen? And just be there. Tarry. Wait. Church, why don't you look at yourself and say, where am I supposed to be? Where does God want me to be? Why don't you get there and stay there and wait? Yeah. Amen?
Yes.
That's what a church should do. Every miracle in the Word of God just doesn't happen. There's always a procedure before it. There's always a command. And if the command is not fulfilled, there's no miracle. Fill the water pots with water. Why? Why? I'm not going to do that. You know what? They did it anyway.
Amen.
Alas, there's wine, right? Mm-hmm. Go dip in Jordan 7 times. Jordan, are you kidding me? That's like the Genesee River out here. Well, I could go to Niagara. Just do it. You know what? Miracles happen. So on and so forth. There's always a command before a miracle. In the church, we expect miracles. Amen? Mm-hmm. We pray for miracles. For your health and your wealth and your well-being. Would you do the first thing? And let God bless your obedience. You say, I don't understand it. It takes a little faith. Believe him. I don't understand a lot of things. But I just, you know what? I just do it. My children can run a business better than I can. I'm hearing. I have the keys. Do it. They're good at it. I don't understand electricity. I was a mechanical engineer. I look at a wire. It just looks like a wire. Well, there's little electrons supposedly flowing around or whatever. They're, you know, ready to jump out at you and zap you and all that kind of stuff, right? I believe it, though. I use it. You better believe I believe it. I'm not getting near one of them boxes, you know. No way. Are you where you're supposed to be? That's what a church does. We help people be where they're supposed to be.
That's good.
See, well, I'm not sure whether God would move me here. When God makes it absolutely sure to you to move, then move. But if this is just my rule, but if I still have some doubt or something like that, I'm not moving. I'm not going to move because I don't want to doubt what God has told me. If God has told me in the light, then when I'm in the dark, I shall not doubt. And sure enough, when you move or you do something different, you're going to find resistance. You're going to have trouble. And if you're not rooted in what God has said,
yes,
you've got trouble. Third thing, and there's only four, so we're doing good. Verse 13, and when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip. And Thomas, I don't know why some have and some don't. Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. It's funny because look in verse 13. Where abode both? Peter, then there's a whole list of men. Both is always two. Two nouns or two actions, right? Both is always two. But there's a whole list of things. Well, what's the both? Well, the both is something kind of unique, kind of different, kind of not exactly Hebrew culture. You've got the men
and the women praying together. Wow. This is not a surprise, but a church that prays together stays together.
Amen.
There's no strength on earth that can defeat, especially when the men. Women don't seem to have the same problem, but a little bit. Women can be catty, you know. Some way won't come because she's the leader or something like that. But you get women that will humble themselves, and men who are typically proud and stubborn, strong, powerful men humbling themselves on their knees together, praying together. I think God just says, wow, I like it. He'll just pour out a blessing. A church that prays together will stay together, same as a family. It's all good. There's a pattern, there's a design. It's good, it's inclusive. You know what, I'm just gonna go there. Go to Acts chapter 27. I'm gonna jump off the script here for a minute. Paul's in a shipwreck almost. It's gonna be wrecked. And oh, they're having a rough time. They're on the high seas and their little craft is gonna be, they're afraid. Oh, they're afraid. They've already thrown away the stuff they were supposed to carry to port. They got all kinds of stuff going on. But look at chapter 27, look at verse 25. Paul shows up. Look at verse 24. Saying, fear not, Paul, this is what the angel told him. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, oh, this is a great verse, be of good cheer, for I believe God, well, so does everybody, but here's the difference, it shall be even as was told me. I believe what God said.
Amen.
As he said it will be. I don't Amen. Just believe, yes, I believe in God, but I believe it's going to happen because he said it.
Yes. Amen.
Later on, a little bit later, some of the Navy guys, they go, gee, this thing's going to wreck. Let's pretend like we're fixing the anchor. Let's get in this little boat, and we're going to like get out of here. We're going to get out of Dodge. And Paul gets wind of it. He goes, tells the captain, cut those boats loose. Don't, look at, we start flying apart. We're safe when we're together. The promise was for all them that sail with thee. So they cut the life raft or whatever it was they were going to use to pretend they were going to, the sailors were going to zip out of there. But they stuck around. You know what? They all lived. The church that prays together stays together. God's house should be a house of prayer. Amen? When it becomes first, it's nothing wrong with being a social event. You know, there's nothing wrong with having a dinner and a fellowship and so on. There's nothing wrong with, you know, selling greeting cards. But if that's the first thing, it's the wrong thing. Amen? Let God's people come together. Let them pray together. I think it's good. And the fourth, back to Acts chapter 1. By the way, it was inclusive. The women. See, well, who can pray? Can you come in? Oh, I don't even think you're saved. You can pray. Amen? You're welcome to pray. The apostles were so impressed. They said to Jesus, teach us to preach, teach us to make money, and teach us to pray. They saw something. They knew it. When he was praying, there was something going on. Amen? When this church gets to praying, when men and women confess their sin, they humble themselves as a body, and they get to praying, something good goes out of it. Good things happen. Amen? Good things. There's power there. And verse 15, Acts chapter 1, verse 15. In those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. We have a We have some leadership. And said, this is what a leader does. The number of the names were about 120. Men, brethren, this is, brother, I got to move. How do I know if it's a good church? You know, I'm gonna visit churches. I'm moving to, you know, Uzbekistan or something. You know, I'm moving far away down to, you know, here or there. How do I know if it's a good church? Well, you'll have a leader, and this is what the leaders will do in a good church. Verse 16, men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled. The men of the church, the leaders, will turn to the scriptures for their answers and for their questions. Amen? You see, well, that's obvious. That's what we do here. You guys are kind of unique, though. And some of you might be new. We turn to the scriptures. We have to form a think tank. Brother Dale and I and Brother Bryson, we're going to go out. We're going to rent a lodge on a mountaintop while we're going to meditate. We're going to come up with all the answers for our trip. We're going to sit there, kumbaya, we're going to have a little campfire, you know, and God's going to give him, we're going to write things in our note, in our iPad, and all that stuff, right? We're going to do all that stuff. Like, no, no. The scriptures must be fulfilled. We are working with the scriptures. That's what it's about. That's a good church. I have nothing wrong. There's nothing. Feelings are part of our life. Amen? Thank God for feelings. But when it comes to decisions of faith, of matters of faith and practice, this is what we use. We have the scriptures. Let's use it. How often, though, are you like me? I don't want to insult you. Are you like some people? Some problem will arise, like, oh, you got diabetes, pal. Or you got this, or you got, or, you know, hey, you're fired, or whatever. You've got a problem in your life. What do? People are watching you. The leaders of good churches say, well, what do the scriptures say about this? What do we do about this? Amen? That's what a good church does. See, well, that's up to Pastor Asquith. Are you a leader in your home? Men? Lucy and I have been reading a chapter a day. See, that's it. I know it's not much. Is it more than you read? We read a chapter a day together. We learn a lot. We always think, what does the scripture say about this? Mm-hmm. The nice thing about it is, right now we just finished Joshua chapter 18. I have a certain prayer request into God. I need an answer. God knows that tomorrow I'll be reading Joshua chapter 19. He can meet me there. I know in the Bible where I can find the answer I want. But then I doubt, is it me or is it God? But when the answer lies in front of me in Joshua 19, amongst this guy taking this hill and this guy, you know, this land and all this, it's like, wow, that's the answer. Let the scriptures be our guide. Amen?
Amen.
That's it.
Good.
That's all.
Patrick.
Well, let me summarize. You're good, though. Come on up. Come on up. He's coming. They obey. They pray. They follow the scriptures. We can do that.
Amen.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Well, very good.
Amen. Thank you.
Wait until next Sunday at 1 o'clock.